This is Thy Strong Word, a show devoted to hearing, reading, pondering, and proclaiming the powerful word of our gracious giver God, underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, online at lhfmissions.org. I am Pastor John Lukumsky, filling in for the Reverend Will Wheaton. We have no idea what Will is doing today, but we hope and pray it's something good as we open our hearts and minds to study Philippians chapter 4. In fact, we're concluding the book of Philippians today. And joining us for the exploration is a fellow I've known for 40 years. When I first knew him, he was just this young punk pastor, some small rural parish over there in southern Illinois. What church was that?
It was a suburb of New Athens.
That's right. You know, which makes it really, really rural.
Called Venedy.
Venedy.
Venedy in New Memphis. And yeah, we looked up
Dual
to big
parish.
New Athens. Yeah. Never
right.
did meet Whitey Herzog.
No. Nobody famous from Venedy, was there?
No, we were between Whitey Herzog in your New Athens and Red Shandings in Germantown.
Oh, there you
but
go.
Never met either one
no
of them.
No great baseballer player. Well, I tell you what. And now he's actually the president of the Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, the Reverend Dr. Dale Meyer. Dale, it is so good to be with you again. How you been?
Well, fine. I didn't expect to see you here, Johnny.
No, I'm not. Well, it's supposed to be Will's show. But Will, they call me up. Hey, come on over. Will's out having a party or something. We don't know.
So earlier this morning, Diane says, I'm going off to Bed Bath & Beyond, but I'll be back in time to listen to the Bible study.
Ah, good, good.
Well, I said, you really don't have to, you know. And she says, no, I want to hear Will because he is so jovial. So I get here and there's you.
Yes.
But then I remembered, you're Jolly John.
Jolly John,
so,
yes.
Diane, I hope that this is good. Jolly John will be good for you.
Someone heard that she wanted joviality, and right away, you know, they called
That's
me.
That's right. Come on, Will. Will, you're getting into my marriage.
So we're doing Philippians 4, which is just filled with these beautiful passages that we quote, we even in church services or sermons rather with, and yet it starts with this conflict. But you got any preliminary comments that you want to make? Or actually, I'm sorry, again, excuse me for a second.
You substitute here?
I'm a substitute, because we're supposed to tell you that if you want to join us in the conversation, we got email here, kfuo@kfuo.org. You can call us on 314-821-0850, or if you're anywhere right now, someone's calling me on my cell phone. No, call on 314-821-0850, or anywhere in North America, it's 1-800-730-2727. There you go. Those are the numbers, those are the contacts.
Well, that must have been Charlie Brennan calling.
Was it? Well, he needs to call the right number, not my phone, but the phone here at the studio. Prayer, that's how we begin, Dale. We always begin our study with prayer. Would you lead us in a prayer, please?
My honor. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. You have created all things. You sustain all things. Every beat of our heart depends upon your grace. And you are our Father, our loving Father who's given us Jesus. Help us in this little time of study to learn about the joy that we have in the Lord Jesus. And help that fill every moment of our lives and every relationship we have. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So again, any preliminary comments you want to make about Philippians 4, or do you want me to just start reading?
Jolly John, did you go to a Lutheran grade school?
No, I did not.
But you went to Sunday school.
I did go to Sunday school.
Well, okay, I went to Sunday school, Lutheran grade school, and we had to memorize Bible passages, and they were the proof texts out of the old catechism.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, you remember that.
I remember the old catechism. I did have that, yeah.
Well, when I got into Walther League, footnote, Walther League was the youth
it
organization.
Was.
Yeah.
And that you didn't meet your wife in Walther League, did you? A lot of people did that.
No, I met her someplace else.
Ah, okay.
That's a whole story,
that's another
too.
That's story, too.
But we got to get to Philippians.
Okay, yes, okay.
So when I got into Walther League, we started to discover all these passages that weren't proof texts. No offense to proof texts.
Yeah.
And this was one of them that just struck me, and I think the other kids too, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, you know. Holy mackerel, you mean church can be fun? So yeah, whenever we come across this passage, and Philippians 4 in general, that's what impresses me. That's where I learned that church and church life is not simply a dour kind of a thing. Yeah, you asked for it. That's what I'm giving you.
All right. So it's all about joy. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to start reading here because apparently it's not all about joy.
Well, we're not pushing another radio station. We're talking about joy here in Jesus.
That's right. See, you're actually not supposed to make allusions to other radio stations. We'll have to talk about that after the show.
Yeah.
You don't
I'm
make
not
any.
On the payroll.
Yeah, well, you're not on the payroll. I'm not either. But here's the thing that I think is interesting because you're right. This is the passage all about joy. And we had the song, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You knew that. That's a song we
that
probably sang.
That was after my time.
That was after your time. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, there it is right there in the first verse, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. But then we get this verse here. Now, I entreat Euodia. Is that how I pray? Euodia. And I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, and it's a question whether that is companion or maybe it might be a person's name. Help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So it just strikes me as strange, this passage with all these wonderful passages, these things that you would memorize and enjoy. And it starts with a conflict in the church between two women. Who would think that two women could be in conflict?
men have conflicts too.
Yes.
But
yes.
In my ministry, the men's club kind of died.
Yeah.
Pastor, we have a conflict in the ladies' eight.
Okay. And so let me lead here. How did you handle that, Jolly John? You had two women and two men that are in conflict. How would you deal with that?
Well, see, I tried to avoid that. I don't like controversy.
Yeah, men don't.
That's right.
But I'll bet you a dollar a donut you privately said.
Yes. Yeah.
Euodia, or however you pronounce her name, you know, kind of cool it, would you? Because, you know, Syntyche or whatever her name is, you know, and you do that. Here's what strikes me about this. We would handle it privately, and I think that's right.
Yeah.
But in that day, most of them couldn't read. They would, and Paul wasn't there. So they'd get this letter from Paul the apostle, and it would be read in a public gathering of the Christians, maybe a worship service, maybe a social
gathering. That's right. This isn't a private letter. This is a letter that will be publicly read and passed through all the churches on top of everything else.
So imagine there you are sitting in the pew in New Athens or Vanity, and we've heard the Old Testament readings now, and now we've got this letter from the Apostle Paul. All right, read it.
Yeah.
And he, three chapters of all this religious stuff. And I said, you two ladies, you better get your act together. Can you imagine how that would go today?
Yeah, but think about it. Maybe that would be better if some of these things weren't just kept secret and hidden, but we brought them out, and especially with the spirit that comes from this text. Because everything that flows from this is saying, okay, this is how it is in the church. We've got conflicts, and people do disagree with each other. Here's some things maybe you need to remember when you are in conflict. Of course, the beautiful thing right at the beginning, your names are written on the book of heaven. Maybe you need to remember that. It's not just about what's going on here. This is this person you're going to deal with forever, eternally.
Yeah, that's interesting too. You know, if I had done this, those two women, and again, it could be two men, they would all of a sudden be united against me.
So there's the plan.
But I mean, this is half the ministry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's personal conflicts, and that's understandable. And these two were good workers with Paul in the spread of the gospel. So, you know, it's not like they were the devil incarnate or anything. These were good people who, whatever the issue was, just had a little different take on it, and there were some rubs that Paul heard about.
Yeah. And see, there you are, Dale, because that's the issue here. This isn't a private controversy. It's not that just a couple of women are arguing about what kind of crackers or coffee they should buy. But these are two people that are very prominent in the church in terms of proclaiming the gospel. Mm-hmm. And this is known by everybody that there's this conflict going on. Well, hey, this isn't right. You people are representing the church. You are representing Jesus Christ. So this is something that you need to get resolved.
And in my experience, if you do it tactfully, sooner or later they say, yeah, I guess so, and they back off. You know, they may still stick to their opinions, but my experience with church people is sooner or later, and sometimes it's later, they back off and say, yeah, okay. You know, I can be nice to Syntyche, or however you can imagine. Why did you name me that?
That would make you crabby just to start off with.
Yeah, and in this passage, also in chapter 4, verse 1,
yeah.
This passage, and I think 6 times in this chapter, the expression is used, in the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay? Remember who you are, whose you are, in the Lord. You have you two ladies, you two men, whomever, you have this personal intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and that dominates everything.
And I think you're talking about tactfulness. You can see that, and that he says, I entreat Judea, and I entreat Syntyche. So it's totally balanced. It's not like one person is being favored over the other. So you see that tactfulness. And you're right, Dale. See, that's the beauty of the thing. We're going to move on. They tell me that this was the thing they said. Okay, Dale's coming in. Make sure you read the text.
Yeah, well, you know. Now, starting at verse 10, he talks about money. So I know we want to hurry on and get to that money section.
All right. Let me read. But let me begin by pointing this out. We don't know who any of these people are. There have been efforts to try to figure out who Clement is, who the true companion is. We have no idea. But, of course, the key thing is their names are written in heaven, which probably is all that counts. You do understand time will come that no one will remember Dale Meyer. And they certainly won't remember John Lukomsky either. But that'll be okay, because you're my name will be written in heaven.
Whoa, yeah. Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, I better ponder that.
Yeah. I know you'll have you've got your big picture there in the hall over the seminary. But then seriously, the time will come and say, who was that guy?
They'll look. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Nobody will remember except the people that I owed money. Go ahead.
All right. There we go. So this is the verse you love. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so again, I love it because it's all spoken in the context of there's this conflict going on. We don't like conflict, but no, Paul goes on and says, hey, yeah, there's all kinds of things. This is what you need to focus on. Don't focus on the conflict. What do you think, Dale? What's important in those verses?
Well, one of the thoughts I had is, after talking about the conflict, among other people, he's telling these two women
to
rejoice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Put a smile on your face. And again, it's in the Lord. 6 times that comes up.
Yeah.
It's in this relationship that you have with Jesus. In the New Testament, Lord is the translation of the Greek word kurios, and that shows up in the liturgy, Kyrie, so on. And in the Septuagint, which was the Old Testament translation of, in Greek, kurios was used for God.
Yes.
So this is saying not just rejoice in the Lord Jesus, but rejoice in the Lord Jesus, who is God. Wowzer. And so going back, you know, thinking about this, And I referred to it in the prayer. God made everything. And in this day and age, with scientific expansion of knowledge, whoa, the universe, he's our Father, and he comes to us as the Lord / God, Jesus. Wow. That sets aside, or at least overcomes, any problems or disagreements that we have in our life. You know, okay, Jolly John, you and I ain't getting along, but wow, God loves us both.
It's a profound statement, isn't it? It totally reframes the whole conflict that's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul wanted the church to model this. There's a book out a couple of years ago by a guy named John Barclay, Paul and the Gift, and it's about what grace meant in those days and also to Paul. And he makes the point that Paul wanted his congregations to have a totally different value system than anything else in the world, you know, than the New Athens, American Legion, the Venedig, yep, Volunteer Fire Department, you name it. The church has a different value system, and that value system shows up when people in conflict, yeah, okay, let it go because we're sinners forgiven by Jesus.
And, you know, that's actually summarized really beautifully in this word where he exhorts them to let your reasonableness be known to everyone. I just happened to stumble across that word, and it's really a cool word because it's a word usually used of people that are in power. And it's used in the context of someone in power not treating you the way you should be treated, but rather dealing with you in clemency. And see, it fits that whole idea of because when I'm in conflict with you, I want what my rights are, right? That's the problem with you. You've taken something away from me that I really deserve. It should belong to me. And so it's just what you said. No, listen here. You are literally with God in charge of the whole universe. The whole universe is circling around what is good and beneficial for you. How could you be concerned about that? Maybe a little clemency, maybe a little reasonableness is how you ought to deal with the other person, precisely because of what you just said.
And one of the ways that happens is through prayer.
Yeah.
And everything,
yeah,
by prayer,
yeah,
supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. I'm not the greatest prayer in the world. I confess that. But you know, when you pray for somebody, it's pretty hard to beat up on them. You know, my goodness, I prayed for this guy this morning.
And that would be where you'd begin, wouldn't it? Instead of being all upset with them and trying to figure out ways to get back at them or to best them, yeah, to start with this prayer. And then, of course, the other thing is you got the peace going on here. That word will get repeated. Tell me more. Anything else that you want to talk about? To answer this, what does it mean? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I say that at the end of every sermon, but what does that really mean?
The people are thankful that you're done.
That's what it is. The peace that the sermon is over.
Yeah, I remember a dear lady in Venedig, she put her babushka on as soon as whenever I said those words, and Gilbert would crank up the old organ, and, you know, that was the end of it.
That was the key.
A couple things. One is that the word guard here is a Greek word that, among other things, calls forth the mental image of a fortress.
Right.
So that this guarding is, our faith is the way God guards us from so much that goes on in life. It may come to us, but at least our hearts and our minds are guarded. And the other thing here, it passes all understanding. We don't understand how active God is in our lives. There's a passage that I love in Mark 11:24. Jesus says, you know, when you pray, believe that you have received it, past tense, and it will be yours. I don't get what God's doing in my life. I mean, that's how great the Creator and Sustainer and Redeemer is. So this is beyond understanding. Have you had this experience, though, that when you give something to God, and Diane's great about this, she says, give it to God. Give it to God. And you give it to God, and maybe you read a passage, you really feel a peace.
Yes, exactly.
It works.
So here's a true life story. So my wife retired the end of May, and the whole plans are, we had the summer, we were going to do some traveling and everything. We had it all lined up because she's retired. We can do that. As you know, when you're in the pastoral ministry, you got to be there on a Sunday, but we got a lot more flexibility than teachers do. Mm-hmm. Teachers actually have to be there every day when there's school going on. So we're ready to rejoice in this freedom we now have for the summer. And all of a sudden, her dad gets sick. He's down visiting us for his 92nd birthday, and he starts bleeding internally in intensive care, and all of a sudden, we're spending the whole summer taking care of him. And yet, see, if you think about it, wasn't that great? He was with us. She was free. We could take care of him. But in our understanding, no, it doesn't always make sense. But there is, like you said, there's this peace that we maybe can't comprehend in our minds, but like you said, it's working out. God's in control. He's doing what needs to be done.
I experience it when I read the Bible, and yeah. that'll usually be in the morning. I mean, I spend a lot of my day with the Bible because of work, but in the morning, I think about whatever garbage is going on.
At the seminary, they're using the Bible? Whoa!
It's part of our new curriculum.
Is that right?
you physically feel a peace that comes. It may not tell you what to do about the problem, but God works through things. I think a lot of times we act like what Parker Palmer calls functional atheists. We forget that God is in this too, for our good.
Even pastors, that's the really sad thing. Even as pastors, we sometimes are functional. Because, again, we have all this conflict or whatever troubles, and right away we're trying to figure it out and deal with it ourselves. When, as Paul's laid it out here, just be happy, just bring it to the Lord in prayer, and understand that he's doing things that you can't comprehend, and that's okay. Because he's going to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And isn't that the beautiful thing there? It doesn't say you should guard your heart and mind, but he's going to do that. He's going to do that. We've only got a couple minutes left. I tell you what, let me go ahead and read the end of this section, and then if you want to make a brief comment, and we will... Oh, wait a second. We've actually got someone on the line. Pastor Dart, who I think probably also knows you from way back.
Jeff,
how you doing? I'm sorry. What's going on, Jeff?
Well, I just had to make a call because you guys are talking about peace, and a long time ago, I had a gentleman in the prison system that I was visiting, that one time when I was talking to him, he just looked at me and said, "You know, Pastor, I used to have all kinds of vehicles, all kinds of homes, and all kinds of toys. And he said, until I understood that Jesus Christ died for my sins, I never really had peace. But he said, now I have peace because it's all gone, but I have Jesus." And I thought, wow, that's kind of the peace that surpasses all understanding. Is he didn't know what his future was, but he knew his future was in the hands of a loving Lord who paid for his sin and all our sins and gives us the promise of everlasting life because he loves us and died on the cross and rose to give us a place of peace in the kingdom of heaven.
Jeff, I think that's a great way for us to conclude this first half hour of our study. We are studying Philippians chapter 4 on thy strong word. We'll be back after just this short break.
Mission Field isn't just overseas anymore. It's right here in your own backyard. If English isn't the first language of your neighbor or friend, and you'd like to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them in their own language, contact the Lutheran Heritage Foundation at lhfmissions.org. LHF has translated and published the Small Catechism, children's Bible stories, hymnals, and devotions into 85 different languages and gives them free of charge to those who need them. lhfmissions.org.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. the prophet Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Begin and conclude your day with the word that accomplishes the purposes for which it is sent. Morning prayer at 7 a.m. and evening prayer at 5 p.m. Weekdays on KFUO. Christ for you anytime, anywhere. The broadcasts of morning prayer and evening prayer are underwritten by Lutherans for Life.
Strong word. Our guest is the Right Reverend Dr. President of the Concordia Seminary, Dale Meyer. Did I put it on thick enough, Dale?
Oh, slobber, man.
Okay.
But remember,
yeah.
Someday people won't know who I am.
That's right. Neither
and
one of us.
There's a lot of folks looking forward to that time.
Yeah, I'm retired in May, and you know, oh, we're going to miss you, Pastor. I say, well, maybe. Some people probably think, why didn't he retire years ago? We are studying Philippians chapter 4, and it's a reminder. We still would love for you to be involved in our discussion. 314-821-0850. North America, the toll number is 1-800-730-2727. I'm going to read some more verses here. Because
I got
to deal with Will tomorrow. He's going to be the host and I'll be the guest. Yeah, and he's going to say, how come you didn't read that whole chapter? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Wow, he's got a lot of words there, doesn't he? If there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. All right. What about that, Dale?
Oh, wow. Finally, brothers.
Yes.
He's talking to men's club now. No. That in Greek means brothers and sisters.
Right.
In English, we just don't have good ways to express.
We don't, yeah.
You know, like, he went to the store. She went to the store, but we don't have a word that's kind of neutral.
No.
She went to the store. Okay, so anyway, lest we offend, brothers here means brothers and sisters. And then this list, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, and so on. Two thoughts on that.
Yep.
We use a variation of that in our prayers at chapel, at least every week.
Yep.
You know, make this seminary a place that is, and some of these are listed. And I'm always struck by that because that's what, going back to John Barclay, you mentioned before the break, that's what the church should be, a different kind of place. And how we fall short, how I fall short on this, you know, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, da da. Yeah, but listen, what he did, what you did.
So we're back to the conflict thing again. Yeah.
I mean, we just go, that's like water seeking its own level. We do that, and that's who we are, you know, saint, but also sinner. We go, well, Pastor, he shouldn't have done that. Well, yeah, okay, but whatever's, you know. And how often do we hold up? This is Eighth Commandment stuff. Put the best construction on everything.
And I think it's interesting because he says don't just think about it, but practice it. Because we do have a tendency, oh, yeah, we acknowledge that intellectually. But like you said, when it gets down to the day-to-day things, that's a little bit different. Doesn't apply.
You go and be nice to your sister. I have to be.
That's right. And now you're back to your phrase that you've repeated in the Lord. Not naturally, no, we can't do these things of ourselves. That's the whole point. You read this list, and as you just confessed, no, this is not what our nature wants to do. So, yeah, maybe it's all the more reason to go back to that prayer thing you had earlier and to really trust that this is something the Lord Jesus does want to do for you and for the church.
And you said it well, John. We don't want to do this naturally because the sin that is in us is not removed by baptism and faith. I mean, that original sin is still down there. It's covered over. It's forgiven. As far as the west is from the east, you know, God doesn't see it anymore. But it's still in there. It's still churning in us. And faithful people, regenerated people, Jesus believers who are bound for heaven, you know, we still struggle with this.
Yeah.
So when he says practice these things, you know, you got to get in the habit of practicing, but sometimes practice makes perfect.
So here's the thing that I'm wrestling with now that I'm an old guy, 65 years old. I know you've probably
got... What is that like?
I don't know.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah, you've got a couple of years on me. Don't kid me. And I'm sure you've experienced this too. I think when you're younger, you think, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get over this stuff, the worry, the doubt, whatever it is, the particular sin we struggle with. And then you get to be our age and you realize, no, that's still there. Like you say, though, because you've been doing these things in the help of the God, there has been some improvements, but those basic fundamental problems, no, they're always there. They never leave. And that's when I begin to realize, okay, I see why I need to die. Because that's only going to take care of it. This stuff is going to be in my flesh as long as I live. So I can see, I don't want to do it now, but when that comes, I can understand why you needed to do that, God.
That's a great point. You know, when you die, it's gone.
Yeah, that'll be over with.
And that's the mystery of baptism. We died.
Yeah.
We died. Now, I mean, we still experience the saint and sinner thing, but baptism before God drowned the old sinful Adam, and a new man comes forth. So it's totally, totally grace. That's a really good point. That'll preach, John.
Now you got me thinking, though. See, so who's Paul talking to here? He's not talking to your sinful flesh. He knows every one of these words, your sinful flesh. So I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to be just and pure. But the new man that was created in baptism, the new man says, yeah, honestly, obsolete, that is what I want to do. It's tough. Yeah. It's hard.
Practice these things. You know, Denny Golden was president of Fontbonne University. Mike Pressimone is the president now, and they're neighbors of Concordia Seminary. It's just great. But Denny passed this along to me. Accept chaos. Mm. Give back calm. Provide hope.
Good.
And that's what Paul is talking about here. And I think as Christians who practice these noble things, you know, we get better at that.
We do.
An older pastor can put his hands out and say, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. Yeah.
Because we've seen it. We've been there and done that. And let me keep on reading, because we want to get to that money part, because I'm sure you want to talk about people donating to the seminary and to KFUO. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking about being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
You know what jumped out at me?
What?
Well, first of all, that he left this to the end of the letter. This wasn't Stewardship Sunday in Philippi.
Oh.
You know? But another thing that jumps out at me is toward the end, I have learned the secret of facing plenty.
Yeah. See, we don't think that's a problem. Give me plenty. I'm okay.
Yeah. And that's probably as great a problem as facing need.
A greater problem, I think, sometimes in terms of faith. But go ahead.
Yeah,
but,
you know, Chuck Aaron made this point. We were having a conversation the other day. In fact, we had this on our new Concordia Seminary KFUO radio program called Word and Work and Intersection every Thursday at 3 o'clock on KFUO radio or internet.
On demand.
Thursdays at 3 o'clock. Anyway, Chuck and I were talking, and Chuck says, now what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Well, he tells a story. He said, in a lot of ways, in this day and age, we don't, quote, unquote, need God because we live in cities that we have built. We go to stores where everything is provided. Chuck had a friend who his, I guess, grandson was at the house, and they were looking at the garden, and there was a tomato. And the grandson says, what's that? And the guy says, well, that's a tomato. He says, I know, but what's it doing on that plant?
That's right. What's it out in your yard?
So, yeah, abundance is a real, real challenge.
Go ahead. I'm not interrupting you. You're on a roll.
What?
Uh-oh.
It's at 2 o'clock.
Oh, we're getting time
corrected. 2 o'clock. I got corrected. 2 o'clock. Thank you, thank you.
And what's
you.
The name of the show again?
Dale? Word and Work, an Word intersection Work. Where we interview people.
2 o'clock on Thursdays.
2 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah,
thank
not
you,
three,
thank you, thank
2
you.
O'clock.
Oh, once again, I've been corrected. That's, you get older, you get used to being corrected.
There
2
you go.
O'clock.
2 o'clock.
What a subtle way to promote KFUO's new program with Concordia Center. Well,
hey, if we're plugging things, don't forget, I do a little show on Saturday mornings called
Wrestling with the Basics
with Matt Clark. So we'll put a plug in there,
Super.
Too.
Super. At any rate, yeah. So you've got, when you've got need, you might go to God, and books have been written that, during times of poverty, religion is higher. I don't know if that's true or not, but in abundance, quote unquote, I'm doing well. I really don't need God. It's not true. I'm not saying that. And so facing abundance is a big challenge that we've got in this day and age.
And the great thing is I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, you're right. In fact, I'm much closer to God when I got problems because I actually do what he says here. I start praying to him. But like you said, that functional atheism where things are going fine, I'm pretty well doing things. I got to read the Bible because I got a sermon to prep. But other than that, but that's the whole thing, that it is through him.
Our physical life depends upon him giving us another heartbeat.
Yeah, good point.
It's totally from him. Anything that we've got is totally from him, but, we get used to it. And we all know how this goes because we're all guilty of it. We do this, and it won't be till heaven till we actually get our sanctification act totally together.
And we wonder then why God throws problems in our lives, and yet in reflection you think, oh, okay, I probably needed that.
Oh!
I forgot you were there. Yeah.
Yeah, so going back.
Yeah, okay.
Because I want to stay away from this money thing. No. But it says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Yes. Ah,
so when God gives us these bad times and we grumble and growl, about somebody or something, whoa, wait a minute. It's not rejoice despite your problems. It's just what you said, rejoice because of your problems, because this is a grinding that's focusing us on him, being in Christ, in the Lord. Good point.
I like that thought too, because I think we hear that, and you're right. We hear it as kind of like, okay, things are bad, but put on a happy face. Yeah. But you're right. No, that's not what it is at all, is it? It's to be able to have the concept that even in our crosses, God still loves us. See, that's the problem. We think that in order for God to love us, it has to be going good, doesn't it? Everything has to be going fine. But the fact of the matter is, no, God loves us when we're sick. God loves us when we're having family problems. That never ends. That never stops.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him.
Yep. Yeah.
For he remembers our frame, he knoweth that we are dust. Again, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I'm convinced that God is a heavenly father, not a grandpa. He's a heavenly father who refines us, and sometimes the refining hurts. He can grind us down until it's like that great hymn by Martin Schalling, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. Bit by bit, he takes everything away from us, and we've lost things in our lives. But there's going to be more. Finally, he's going to take away our health and this life itself. And the only thing we got, as Sainted Arnie Kunz said, life narrows down, crisis comes, and in the narrow place stands Jesus. God's not done with us yet.
And the wonderful thing is that when it finally does grind down to nothing, when you're right, when they take us and they lay us in the tomb, that's when it's actually going to be better than it's ever been better before.
Yeah.
Not for the people that are here. No, it will seem incredibly hard for them. But it will be. Yeah.
You're putting a positive spin. No, I agree.
Bane and blessing. What's the hymn?
By the cross are sanctified.
Yeah. There you go.
Our students, I wrote a letter this morning to all our students. They'll get it one of these days. And our theological symposium coming up later this month. You can read about it on the seminary's website. Our theological.
What is that website, Dale?
CSL.edu.
Okay.
And the cross alone is our theology. That's the topic this year. Yeah. The cross alone is our theology. Well, students understand intellectually the centrality of the cross to life. But as life goes on, decades pass, and we get ground down Then we understand what the cross is really all about. And that's just a function of aging as a Christian.
And it's a part, I think, then of why the faith grows and all of that. And again, it goes back to what you said. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. This is how the Lord. Well, all right. We need to move on.
Get that money section in here.
Yet it was kind of you to share my troubles. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from
Epaphroditus.
Thank you, Epaphroditus.
They had some names back then.
They did. The gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And yet it's not the amen. There is still more he needs to say, but comments about those verses.
Yeah, did you ever preach a sermon where you said the peace of God which passes all understanding? Then you got down and said, whoops, I forgot to say something. And the eyes.
Well, yeah, the guy that's up there getting ready to play the organ and all the other things, you said, wait a second, hold on.
Well, what strikes me here is, and he's not talking, well, he is talking about money. They gathered some help for Paul's missionary work. But what jumps out at me is sometimes we have a very parochial understanding. Why should our congregation send money to church in the city, the district, the synod? You know, we got plenty of needs here.
Charity begins at home. Yeah. Isn't that what the Bible says?
And in fact, no. This is a worldwide church that happens to be localized in Philippi or in New Athens or Venedig, New Memphis or Darmstadt, other churches that we serve. But it's this worldwide consciousness. I bet you that it's been a blessing to you, brother, to be able to come and do this KFUO work, because it, I don't mean this a bad way, it gets you out of town and you see some things that you wouldn't see if you just stayed in town.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no, it's been a great blessing.
Same for me. And so when we understand that our stewardship is also helping the church in the city, the district, the synod in its mission efforts, that's a blessing. You know,
I'm blessed right now. I'm the chairman of the mission board for the Southern Illinois District. And so one of the things we're trying to accomplish is just what you said. We've got all these people. Jeff, just called Jeff Nerd. He's one of the many people that are doing prison ministry. And I thought, my parish doesn't know who these people are. You know, so we're trying to get their pictures out. We're trying to get their stories out to let people know when you give money, you're not giving to some organization. I don't want to give to an organization, but there are real life breathing people that are preaching the gospel to very difficult situations to people in prison. And we need to know that. Like you said, that's what the money's going for.
When I was a pastor, we would often get together a group, large or small, and go visit a mission site.
There you go.
In the area. And that was great. Which, by the way, any of you out there, get a group together and come visit the mission site called Concordia Seminary. I'll buy you lunch.
All right, I got that down, Dale. There'll be about 20 of us coming.
But back to the point. When you go see a place, you say, whoa, this is different than, you know, people used to read the National Geographic when you couldn't travel. Now we can travel and go see these places. Wowzer. Yeah.
And yet, I love what he says here. Not that I seek the gift. So I'm not trying to twist your arm here. That's not what it's about, trying to get. But I'm looking for the fruit, that this would come from the realization of the blessings that God has given you. You're total forgiven. Your name's written in heaven. How could you not want to respond with love and compassion and care for the people around you? You did a Bible study. You probably don't even remember this. Years ago for the district, you did a Bible study on Obadiah. And it was...
Oh, I did.
Yes, you did.
I don't remember.
Well, and I'm thinking, why would anyone do a Bible study in Obadiah? But after I attended that Bible study, it's funny how the gospel really does affect you. And that I thought, I really want to give. I want to do something that can be of help to people. I'm not sure how that came out of Obadiah, but it was a wonderful feeling. And that's how it works. We're not looking for gifts. We're looking for fruit. And seriously, if there are people out there giving to the seminary, or you're doing it because it's some obligation, would you quit? Kids, keep your money. Same for the church. We don't need that. But the people out there that want to do it with joy, rejoice in all things, even in giving, well, yeah, we'd love that, and the Lord loves that as well.
I bet you have this experience, and I know a lot of the listeners do. The kids are raised.
Yeah.
We've paid the bills, or most of the bills. And there's some discretionary dollars, and it's a heartfelt pleasure to support whatever it might be. That really gives us joy. And in this day and age, with younger people, and they're probably struggling more than we had to during our more productive years, we can really make an impact on the next generation with our gifts.
And, you know, that's the thing, too. So if there are people out there that do not have that, that literally are just trying to take care of their basic needs, don't feel bad about that. See, when you make it into an obligation, those people feel guilty because I'm not doing what I should. No, that's okay. In fact, Paul talks about that elsewhere. Where people have got plenty, well, then we give to those that need. And then in turn, when they have plenty, they can give to others in need. I got a question for you, though, because we got all kinds of things up here. Cheryl from Indianapolis. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
I start talking to Dale. I'm not paying attention to the boards. I'm a rookie. Excuse me. Go ahead, Cheryl.
This chapter reminded me of Habakkuk. He starts out with his complaint, and he ends with rejoicing in the Lord. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And that reminded me of baptism, where God, my Lord, unites with me, and I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me.
That. Thank you, Cheryl. That's a very appropriate passage. The first time that I became aware of that passage, folks, Habakkuk chapter 3, was doing a show on KFUO with Reverend Ron Lynn.
Ah, yes.
So we're going back some time now. But that's a fantastic book. And especially that passage, it says it. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. And James, and I this is a great question from James. Can ministerial affection be taught dogmatically in seminary or the church? Ministerial affection, can you teach that? So, well, how do you give it to people?
One of the things we've done during my time, I'm in my 14th year, is we put out benches and tables, and we say, sit down, guys, and talk with one another. All new students get a lecture from OPA, and the lecture is, when I meet you on the sidewalk, you will greet me, and I will greet you, because, you never meet a stranger.
Yeah.
And so we push that, and we try to model it. I think if you do it dogmatically, I don't think it takes. You can be on our campus, and now I'm really going to get in trouble. And if you meet somebody who doesn't greet you, dollar to a donut, they're from Washington University walking through our campus. Our people will greet you.
You're going to get something from Washington U, I'm sure, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah. James is actually on the line. James, have you got just something real quick for us? James?
Yeah, because it was about practical theology and those questions and how they were presented. We'd like to know if... when you use the process of whether it's non-essentials liberty and the essentials unity and all things charity, does that enhance koinonia and kind of adapt concord to those circumstances of great church conflicts and fights?
All right. Thank you, James. Thank you.
Yeah, I think so. I think absolutely.
Okay.
You know, there's what James just said has a lot packed into it, and we could unpack that in another at another time. But yeah, I think so.
All right. Very, very good. So we got to finish it up. All right? We have to finish it up here in our last few minutes here.
Lest you be in trouble with Brother Wheaton.
That's right. And like I said, I'm going to be here tomorrow, so he might be giving me trouble. And I'll ask why he wasn't here today. Okay.
Yeah.
Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Those are the concluding words of the book.
We talked about how God guides.
Yeah.
Look at that. Caesar's household.
Yeah.
This is getting the gospel of Jesus into the high ranks of Roman society. I mean, it's amazing. But it all ends with the grace of Jesus giving us peace.
Which is the story from the beginning, isn't it? It's just all the whole letter and everything we've heard up to this point. What about the business of saint here? He keeps telling the saints in Christ Jesus, all the saints greet you.
That's how God sees us. And even though we continue to be sinners, he sees us as saints, and that's how we should see one another. Saint John. That sounds better than Saint Dale, I suppose. You know, there was no Saint
Dale. Yeah, I know. It's an easy name. Dale, yeah. Well, that's okay. Saint Dale. There is a Saint Dale. There's a Saint Jerry out there somewhere. Isn't that remarkable?
So, I mean, that's how we should deal with one another. But, you know, we're sinners. Yeah.
Well, and see, we go back to the thing that started our chapter with this conflict between these two women. And would it not make a difference when we're dealing with each other if we would recognize we are dealing with people who are saints? And again, emphasizing that fact that whose names are written on the book of heaven. I would think that would make a difference, Dale, if you knew that the person you're dealing with, you're going to be living with them forever up in heaven. I think probably you'd want to be treating them differently here on earth as well.
Oh, you think that person is going to make it into heaven?
So that's the problem. I'm not going to deal with them in heaven anyway, so who cares?
No, you're right, John. You're right.
All right, Dale, we've got 2 minutes left. Could you summarize for us the important things we want to take home today from Philippians chapter 4?
Our joy often comes from various things in life, okay?
Yeah.
So Packer fans this morning are rejoicing that the Packers beat the Bears. You know, all these earthly things.
The Chiefs won yesterday, too, by the way, in terms of reasons to rejoice.
Okay, there
I'm
you
from
go.
Kansas City, so, yeah.
But, yeah, ultimately for a Christian, those are just passing things. And as you said, as we age and when we are gone, those joys will be behind us. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's where our joy is. And it's not joy despite our problems that come our way. It's joy because of our problems. Because when those problems come, our loving Heavenly Father is refining us, training us up to have our eyes evermore on Jesus. And at the end of it all, Jesus is the one who leads us through the valley of the shadow into the eternal glories of heaven.
You know, Dale, if there's one thing that I've learned from our study, it's just that thought. It's not that it's despite the troubles, but actually the troubles are part of the reason we can rejoice as we know that God is with us, that God will deliver us from this, and that God will actually use these things that we might grow in faith, and an opportunity to love one another. And that, see, we don't see that trouble is often an opportunity for us to be of care and love for other people. So what are we doing, Ian? Are we about done here? Is it ready to time to play the music? All right. Well, then this has been Thy Strong Word. We have Dale Meyer with us. Dale, thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to actually be here in studio with us. We pray that you will return and listen tomorrow as we continue with a new book on Thy Strong Word.
been listening to Thy Strong Word, produced by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of National Mission in cooperation with Worldwide KFUO, the official broadcast ministry of the LCMS. Your support is vital for this program to continue. You can make a gift safe, secure, and easily online at kfuo.org. Thank you for listening and supporting Thy Strong Word.